Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the world we live in. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. In today's teaching, Pastor Brian continues to take us through Genesis chapter 32. God wants us to trust Him, as He has a way for His will to be accomplished in our lives. Join us as Pastor Brian continues his study in a message titled, Doing God's Will, God's Way.
Jehoshaphat didn't learn his lesson there. Later on, Ahab is dead. His son Ahaziah has come to the throne. And Ahaziah invites Jehoshaphat into a commercial endeavor with him. And so they make ships to go to Tarshish. But the prophet comes and says, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works. Then the ships were wrecked so that they were not able to go to Tarshish. So you see, God intervened. Jehoshaphat is leaning on the flesh. He's looking to Ahaziah to help enrich himself in regard to the kingdom and all. But God frustrates and foils the plan. He causes the ships to be wrecked. Whenever we plan according to the flesh, whenever we revert to the flesh, when we are to be trusting in the Spirit, as I said, God is going to frustrate and He's going to foil that. I think of what's happened many times in ministry. We've all heard the passage quoted. We've read it in our New Testament. The book of Galatians, Paul says to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, will you now be made perfect in the flesh? And this is something that's a very real danger because we see it happen a lot of times. And I can think of it especially in the context of ministry where you've seen God bless a ministry, bless a man, bless a work. And it's so obvious that it's all just something God has done. And the person, their testimony is that, well, we just trusted the Lord. We didn't have a great strategy. We didn't have, some five-year plan. We didn't have a lot of resources or anything. We just trusted the Lord and look what's happened. And when God blesses a ministry, people are attracted to that. Many people see the success of it. And oftentimes somebody will come in and say, this is a great ministry. This is a wonderful ministry, but it can be better. Let me tell you, I've worked in the corporate world. I've taken businesses and, from nothing and made them multi-million-dollar corporations. And listen, let's develop a strategy and here's what we can do. We can become the biggest, the greatest church and all for the glory of God. And they come up with this grandiose scheme. It's interesting how God will just come along and frustrate and foil those things. He has His ways of doing things. Think of one church that was going to expand and, they needed to expand, no question about it. But the expansion they planned just seemed a little bit over the top. But they were able to raise the money and it was going to come through and we're going to do it. We're going to expand. And they raised the money through pledges. And then when it came time to collect on the pledges, the Lord sort of blew the whole thing away. People said, yeah, we're going to commit to this. But when it came down to actually giving it, they said, well, we don't really have the money. So God had a way of just thwarting that thing and bringing the pastor back to his senses and reminding him, hey, this is my work. So these kinds of things God will do. He will frustrate and foil our plans. He will wrestle with our hearts. Like I said, this kind of extreme sort of wrestling that we read about here in chapter 32, this is sort of the last resort. Before this, God's going to wrestle with our hearts. He's going to unsettle us. He's going to cause us to be restless over things or agitated. We're just going to, I don't know, I just don't feel good about this kind of a thing. But what we tend to do sometimes is we try to suppress that. We try to ignore that. Oh, no, that's not, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to keep going. That's what Jacob did. There were so many incidents in Jacob's life where he could have thrown up his hands and said, okay, Lord, I am done. I'm done trying to do this on my own. But Jacob was very, very resilient. He was very much a tenacious sort of a guy. He's just, I'm going to keep going no matter what. But that was his weakness. That's what eventually got him into trouble. God will wrestle with our hearts. I think of David. I think there's an example there when you remember David was anointed to be the king. Saul was opposing that and persecuting David. But David never lifted his hand against Saul. He never sought to overthrow him. He never reverted to the flesh. He trusted in the Spirit. But there was an occasion where David and his men went into a certain cave, and Saul and his men happened to be there, and Saul was asleep, and his men were asleep. And when they discovered them in the cave, David's men said to him, here's your enemy. The Lord's delivered him into your hand. Kill him. This is your opportunity. And David said, no, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. But what David did do is he took and he cut off a portion of Saul's robe. But the scripture says that his heart smote him after he did that. There was that restlessness, that agitation, that unsettling of his heart. It was the conviction of the Holy Spirit warning David, because David at that moment had just crossed the line from the spirit into the flesh. And had he continued in that vein, the next thing he would have done, or the ultimate thing he probably would have done, is taken off Saul's head. And that would have never been the way that God had for it to happen. So he responded to that. And again, the Lord will wrestle with our hearts. I can think of many examples in my own life where this has happened. I remember years ago when Cheryl and I were engaged and we were fairly close to getting married. I was at a prayer meeting one night. I was working at a company and I had a good position and it was a good job and a trade and a kind of a career thing. And one night at a prayer meeting, this person prays out, Lord, I just pray that Brian would get fired from his job and that you would, you know, open the door for him to be in full-time ministry. And I thought, that's the most ridiculous prayer I've ever heard. First of all, because I thought, there's no way that's going to happen. I got a great job. I got good job security. I'm friends with my boss. Plus, I need a good job. I'm getting married. And, you know, amazingly, a couple days later, I went in. My boss called me in the office. He had sort of a dire look on his face. And he said, Brian, I got some bad news. I got to let you go. I'm like, what? You're my friend. What do you mean you got to let me go? And he said, well, you know, the company's not doing that well. You're the lowest guy on the totem pole here, so you're going to have to go. But he said, don't worry. I've arranged for you to have an interview with another guy. And actually, it was at another company that was better. It was more stable. It was more successful. A lot more security and even more pay. And so I said, okay, well, good. You know, thank you for that. But right when he told me that, it came back to me, that prayer. And I thought, wait a second, you know. And I started to have this wrestling because I felt like the Lord was saying to me, that's not where I want you to go. Don't pursue that lead that he just gave you. But, you know, I'm saying, well, wait a second. Lord, I'm getting married. I've got to have a job. I've got to have a good job. And I need a raise would be great. So I sort of suppressed that, resisted that, didn't respond to that agitation. I went ahead and went through the interview. I went to see the owner of the company. And I sat there and talked to him for about 20 minutes, or he talked to me. And finally, he looks at me and goes, you know, I'd like to offer you this job, but you don't really seem that interested. And you know why I wasn't that interested? Because I'm trying to listen to what he's saying, but I'm also over here feeling like the Lord's saying, you're not supposed to be here. You know, you ought to get up and tell this guy you're sorry for wasting his time. And so finally, that's what I did. I said, you know what? Please forgive me for wasting your time. I shouldn't be here. And I thought, maybe this is a witnessing opportunity. I said, I don't think God wants me to take this job. He probably just thought I was a nut. But, you know, I got up and walked out of there. But the funny thing was, the Lord led me from there into a job that I never would have dreamed I would go back to less pay than I was making previously. But over the next several months, I got to share the gospel with so many people that I had grown up with because it was in a place where those people were frequenting. And then after that season, Pastor Chuck asked me if I would come and come on as an intern here at the church. So, you know, it was all this thing. But I share that story to just say I remember how the Lord was wrestling with me over this. And I was trying to go one way, but he was saying, no, I want you to go another way. And he'll do that. Even more recently, and let me just say this. You know, with Jacob, we're talking about major life events here. This is a huge event in the life of Jacob. And what I'm sharing with you about are not necessarily those events of that magnitude, but here's the point. Whether it's something large or in between or something seemingly small, it's important in every area that we get this right. Because if I develop the habit of trusting in the flesh in the small things, it's going to transfer to the medium things and it'll ultimately transfer over to the bigger things. So God's going to hold us to this even in the smaller things. I can think of so many times in the past few years, you know, dealing with my family, with my children, counseling with one of my children in particular. And so many times where I am, the flesh is what's driving me. I'm going to say this and it's going to get them to do that. And, you know, it's a manipulative sort of a thing. You know how to push the right buttons. You know how to make them feel guilty. You know how to just do it this way. Then it's going to, my daughter and I, we communicate a lot through texting. And there have been so many times when, you know, I'm texting her going, oh, I'm going to get her with this one. And I'm going to, you know, and I come up with this great little thing that's just going to convict her. And it's really going to, and you know, the Lord will say to me, Brian, do you really want to send that? Because if you send that, you are only going to compound the problem. I've got a much better way to deal with this. Let me deal with it. Oh, but Lord, no, this is great. This is really going to do it. And, you know, I thank God that he's been strong enough in his, you know, impression on me. Many times, instead of hitting the send button, I hit the delete button and say, okay. And, you know, I find that God does it. But, of course, like we all do at times, there are times when I take it into my own hands. I try to do it in my own strength or with my own wisdom. And you know what I always end up doing? I always end up regretting it. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I listen to the Lord? You see, that's the thing. When we lean to our own understanding, when we rely on our flesh, in the end, we just make the problem worse. We frustrate it. We prevent God's plan from moving forward. So just from a very practical standpoint, we don't want to do that. Now, we come finally to God crippling. He frustrates and foils our plans. He wrestles with our hearts. But if we have that same kind of stubbornness that Jacob has, it could come to the point where God has to take drastic measures. But we know already that he doesn't want to do that. The problem with Jacob was he was unwilling to surrender. He did not respond to those initial instructions. He didn't go with the nod of the head or with the directing of the eye. He put himself in a position to have bit and bridle. And we can do that too. One man said this in commenting on it. He said, so marvelous was the human opposition that nothing short of a manifestation of divine power would suffice to break it down. God could have done this earlier in the struggle, but he would not because he wanted Jacob to willingly surrender. Yet at length, as he could not obtain this, there was nothing else to be done but to deal with him in severity. You see, God frustrates and foils our plans. He wrestles with our heart. Why? Because he wants us to surrender. But if we persist, if we dig in our heels, and if we say, no, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it my way, then we force God to use severe measures. Severity is always God's last resort, but if we force him to deal severely, although he is reluctant to do so, yet for our sakes and for the sake of his purpose, he will deal with us severely. And I know that there are people that could stand here today and testify and say, I was one of those people that did not respond and forced God to deal with me severely. And of course, they would testify, this is not what you want to do. We don't want to do this. Jacob didn't have to spend the rest of his life as a cripple, but he forced it in that direction because of his unwillingness to surrender. So, in closing, there are three things that I want to leave with you. Number one, we've already said it, but let me say it again. Know this, God not only has a will, he has a way for his will to be accomplished. You know, sometimes we can justify what we're doing by saying, well, God, I know that this is your will. God, I know this is what you want me to do. Yes, that might be true. But the question is it the way that God wants you to do it? Because temptation will come to do things our own way. It is the will of God, but is it the way of God? The second thing we need to remember is this. The flesh is never God's way. It is never God's way. There's never a time when God will encourage us to revert to the flesh, to lean to our own understanding, to do it in our own strength, to work the situation out, to manipulate it in a way that only we could to accomplish that. The end with God does not justify the means. You see, a lot of people say, well, it doesn't really matter how you get there as long as you get there. Not so with God. The means has to be consistent with the end. So God is going to require not only that we get to the end, the fulfillment of his will, but there's a proper way to get there. The flesh is never that way. But as one writer said, I think quite profoundly, it's possible to be deceived into thinking that the end will justify the means. He said, such hours come to most of us when it almost seems as if necessity obliged and holy wisdom prompted us to accomplish in our own strength that which nevertheless we should leave in God's hand. If once we enter on such a course, it will probably not be long before we cast to the winds any scruples about the means to be employed so that we secure the object desired and which possibly may seem to us in accordance with the will of God. Here also, faith is the only true remedy. Faith which leaves God to carry out his own purposes, content to trust him absolutely and to follow him wheresoever he leads. And listen, sometimes, here's the thing. Sometimes God's way is going to seem to you to not be the right way. Oh, come on, Lord. This is so, you know, why do we have to do it this way? There's an easier way. Let me show you. There's a shortcut. We can get around this. Satan tried to do that with Jesus, didn't he? What do you need to go to the cross for? I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory. Just bow down and worship me. And this is what happens. Sometimes God's way is just so foreign to us. We think, oh, Lord, you know, no, this just seems so complicated and so drawn out and so long. And I have to have patience and all the. And so that's where the temptation comes. But we have to realize God's way ultimately will prove to be the right way. But he says this, and I love this here. He says, and God's way is never through the thicket of human cunning and devices. Never. God's way is never through the thicket of human cunning and devices. He quotes from Isaiah, he that believes shall not make haste, nor need he says, for God will do it all for him. You see, God will do it. Those things that God is working in our lives, he wants us to know that he has a way for his will to be accomplished, and he wants us to know that we can trust him. He will do it. God says the older shall serve the younger. Jacob says, all right, the older shall serve the younger. Okay, I got to come up with a plan to make that happen. No, you don't. God's going to do it. It's his job. You see, that was the mistake. Thirdly and finally, one way or another, God is working to bring us all to a place where we are governed by him. He is in the process of transforming us from Jacob to Israel. We all have a little bit of Jacob in us. Some have more than others. And part of life is just ridding us of that Jacobness, purging that out of us. For much of his life, sadly, Jacob was like the horse or the mule. May that not be so with us. It does not have to be so with us. Now, finally, look here what happens. Jacob, the angel wrestles with him. And even with this kind of intense dealing, where there is a literal physical conflict taking place here, Jacob still holds his ground. He still holds his ground. And finally, the Lord touches him and dislocates his hip. He touches him, dislocates his hip, and then Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And what does the Lord say? He says, what is your name? Now, do you think God didn't know his name? God, of course, knew his name. But Jacob's name was significant because Jacob's name really was a reflection of his character. His name meant heel catcher. You remember the story when he was first born? He had hold of the heel of his brother. And so when he came forth from the womb with his hand around the heel of his brother, they said, that's it. He's a heel catcher. Yaakov, Jacob, that's his name. That name was, in a sense, prophetic, because that's the kind of person that he became. He was a heel catcher. He was a supplanter. He would trip you up to get the advantage on you. He would beat you at your own game. The Lord is extracting a confession. The Lord is calling him to admit what he is and who he is. And the moment he does it, the Lord says, your name is no longer Jacob. It's now Israel. But you see, it couldn't be Israel until he surrendered. And that was the moment of surrender when he finally confessed who he really was. So many lessons to be learned from the lives of the saints. But what a lesson here. The lesson of depending on the Lord, doing God's will, but doing it his way, not leaning to the flesh, not doing things in our own strength, giving him the lead in our lives, allowing him to just have control. And as we do that, we put ourselves in the place of experiencing the fullness of the blessing that God wants to bestow upon us.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Doing God's Will, God's Way, and the resource number is OBB500. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today. and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.